and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Daniel Hall.
I'm Ben Allison. We hope this podcast is helpful for you as you engage ideas and the culture in your everyday lives so that you can help people find Jesus and also follow him.
And this podcast is based on Titus 2:11, which says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So keep that in mind as you watch today's episode, and thank you for joining us, and God bless. Hello, everybody. I'm Daniel. That's Ben.
What's happening?
And we are back to bring you a really cool episode, a much lighter topic than our previous one, talking about, well, one of the most important topics, really, talking about what does it mean to give your life to Christ, and what does it mean to truly become a follower of Jesus. So there's a passage that I'm going to start off by reading. We're going to keep it a little shorter today. I'm just going to read a passage from Acts chapter 9. So feel free to pause here, grab your Bible, and follow along. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. And so it says, the Word of God says this, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the Way," which were early Christian church, the early Christian church, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So he led them by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.' 'Lord,' Ananias answered, 'I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to you and your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" So, as we're going to kind of dive into today, Ben, at face value, what does it truly mean? Because we see a conversion of a man who was literally, as it says in verse 1 there, he was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. So what does it mean to truly have a heart change and want and desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ?
It means that that you have responded to the Holy Spirit and have changed from who you were before, who is, you know, lost, and turning and giving your life to God. In John, you know, chapter 3, you know, one of the first most famous verses anyone ever learns, John 3:16, but I'm going to continue past verse 16 because it's still amazing even into, you know, after that. So 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So there you go, John chapter 3, 16 through 18, really sums it all up.
Yeah, so as we see in this story of Saul, and who was later to become Paul and would write the majority of the New Testament itself, as we see this conversion, we truly see something. I like what you said there, reading that verse from John chapter 3. And I love what it says in 2 Corinthians as well, to kind of mimic that. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone and the new is here." Well, So what we see there, these are all amazing things to say, but let's kind of talk about what it looks like in practicality, because you see, Saul's conversion was quite dramatic, if I'm being honest. It was quite the event in his life, because he was literally blinded and could not see for 3 days, and was brought to the Lord that way, which is amazing and powerful. But also, you know, do we see that with everyone today?
Not on the road to Damascus, no, not right. necessarily. But
I've never been blinded by the Holy Spirit. I can attest to that.
Yeah. No, not necessarily in the same way, but in a similar way, there is a, we're all on, you know, kind of a journey, so to speak. And there is a point to where the Lord is going to, you know, whatever kind of verbiage you want to use, draw or make himself, you know, available to, so that we respond in one way or another, and to respond and either accept what God has done for us through Jesus, or to go our own way. And that's what it talks about in Romans chapter 1, that people have suppressed the truth and unrighteousness, and we have all gone our own way.
Yeah.
That's the choice that we have. And so whether we're on the road to Damascus or here somewhere, anywhere, locally throughout our lives, it's just, that's our opportunity.
That's right. And, you know, I think that this is a great way to talk about, you know, what the gospel is for those that might be struggling with to understand all of this, or maybe this is literally your first interaction with it. I want to explain, you know, why that this is the most important decision that you could ever make. And, you know, it goes back to a quote, I believe it's from C.S. Lewis, and it's one of my favorite quotes. He said, you must, you know, everybody has an opinion about Jesus. So you must think of one of three things. He's either a lunatic, because he was crazy, or he's a liar, because, you know, he said he was the Son of God, or he is Lord. And so one of those three things, you must decide for yourself who he is unto you. And so I want to read really quickly from Isaiah 53 as well, because to give context, this verse was written, I believe it was a little over 400 years before Jesus was even born on earth. And it says, you know, it's talking all about Jesus. But in verse 4 specifically, it says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And that really speaks to us as human beings, right? What that we've done is gone astray, right? Because we no longer have that perfect harmonious relationship with God that was in the Garden of Eden. But long ago, that was broken. And sin entered the world. And just as it says in Romans, the one man sinned, so the many have sinned. But it also says the one man redeemed us, so we have all been redeemed, who was Christ Jesus. So, you know, really the key, I think, to our discussion today is just to truly invite you to, you know, explore and investigate what it means in your own life, even, to devote yourself to Christ if you haven't made that decision yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, ultimately the Christian life is dying to ourselves, making Christ Lord, and picking up our cross daily and trying to follow him. That means not only that means trusting him for our salvation, and then in response to that, we obey what he has commanded us to do throughout Scripture, because as a sovereign Lord of the universe, you know, not only is he great and powerful, but he is the standard of good, the standard of goodness, the standard of righteousness, and all that we do should glorify, you know, who he is and that standard. So that's the position, that should be our position of making him the authority in our lives and not ourselves.
When you said a really important word there that I want to kind of go back to real quick, you said the word salvation. What is salvation? What does that mean? Can you give us a definition?
Salvation is rescue for our moral crimes against God.
Mm. And what are our moral crimes against God?
Well, in Christian lingo, we use the term sin for that. But for a less Christianese kind of version, I just say moral crimes against God. So those are things that we do that are wrong. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Again, God is that standard of goodness. He is that standard of righteousness. And any time that we have missed the mark on that, we have committed a moral crime against God.
Right. So, you know, we could put it this way. If you're listening right now, I want you to raise your hand if you're perfect. Well, I don't even have to look around because I can't look because you're listening to the podcast. I don't even have to look to know that no one is perfect and no one has honestly, truthfully raised their hand. So, you know, the key is that we have all, like it says in Isaiah 53, Romans 3:23, says it a lot in the Bible, really. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. We've all done something that we shouldn't have done. You know, just a very blanket way to say it. And that leads us to, well, how can we be saved from the things that we've done wrong? And truly, I can tell you the only way to be saved is to be reconciled with God. And how do we be reconciled with God? Through the ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which simply says that if we turn to Him, if we turn to the Son of God, Jesus, we believe that He was who He said He was and is who He said He is, and turn our lives over to Him. Repent is another way to put that. That leads us to a heart change, and that leads us to devoting our lives to Him and sharing that with other people, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's what's beautiful about Christianity is that it is different from all other, you know, religions and worldviews. What makes it special is that from the very beginning of the creation of the universe, God knew that we would choose to do wrong.
Yeah.
Before He even set the universe into motion, He had knowledge of who I am, of who Daniel is, and who all of you are, knowing that we would go our own way and that He would need to rescue us. And that was the very plan from the beginning. And it says that, you know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that God pursued us from the very beginning of the creation of the world. He was pursuing us. He was putting things in motion to be where we are today, to pursue us, to love us, to rescue us from our own wrongdoing.
Yeah. And you know, I want to provide a really cool thing that I've heard before about Christianity. Christianity gives us a sense of hope. Not because we are following a set of rules or because we're trying to be the best people we can be. Those are side effects. But ultimately, it gives us a sense of hope because we can point to a perfect being in Jesus Christ and can put our faith and trust in Him, knowing we're not always going to have everything figured out. In fact, most of the time, we're not going to have anything figured out. But we know someone that does, and that is Jesus Himself. You know, and I want to point out that there's also another part to this story, and that hasn't happened yet. And that's when Jesus will return to the earth one day. And I just want to point out something interesting. In the very last chapter of the Bible, so the book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and the very last chapter is 22. There's a phrase that is repeated a few times by Jesus Himself, and He says, "Look, I am coming soon." He says that in verse 7, in verse 12, and then He talks about it again in verse 20. He says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." And I just want those listening to know that there will ultimately be a day where, whether it's through Jesus returning or it's through death, that we have the opportunity to stand before the righteous judge, who is God, and give an account for what we've done. And I can tell you one thing that is amazing about Christianity is it gives us the confidence. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can boldly approach the throne of God with confidence because we're not putting our trust or faith in ourselves or someone else that is, just a straight up regular old human being, but rather we're putting our faith and trust in Jesus, who is truly who he said he was and is. And that's amazing that we can have that confidence and that hope in the things that are forever lasting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus is coming again. And the first time he came to earth, it said back in John chapter 3, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And that was Jesus' purpose through his first visit on earth. But on his second visit on earth, he is coming to judge.
Yeah.
He is coming to condemn, and he is coming to do justice. And he is going to right every wrong. And whenever it describes him in Revelation chapter 19, where he's riding on a horse and he has a name on his thigh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's who Jesus is coming back as. And that is the urgency. Because as you said, whether it is through his sudden return or through our own death, there will be a time where we no longer have the opportunity to repent, to turn from our unrighteousness and turn to him. So that is the story of the Lamb of God coming to take away the sins of the world, Jesus' first visit to earth, and the Lion of Judah, who is coming to do justice and right every wrong on his second return.
Right, and so I will also ask this to kind of give us a good place to kind of lead into the end here of who is this message for? Is it just for us in the church? Is it just for people that have read the Bible through and through? Is it just for us?
It is for the message of Jesus is for anyone who may come to him. Jesus makes that very clear, and it is for any who are willing to lay down their own authority and lay the authority and their trust at the feet of Jesus. Because, again, that's the beauty of Christianity, is that no other religion says this, but we can't do it on our own. There's nothing we can do on our own to get us right with God, because he is the standard of rightness. And so we need Jesus. We need the spotless, perfect example of Jesus and his sacrifice in order to make us justified before God.
Right, exactly. That's great. So there's one other term that I want to define to kind of end out here. We talked about salvation. There's also another word that gets thrown out a lot in the church that people might have heard and might not fully understand, and that is sanctification. So can you just give us a definition of that and explain the difference between salvation and sanctification?
Yeah, sure. Wow, we're getting into the theological terms here. But yeah, so, salvation, as we talked about, is, that rescuing from God, for us putting our trust in Jesus. Sanctification is the outworking of our faith once we are saved. It is how we are continuously conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 12, some very well known verses, but Paul lays out what we should do. Beginning of chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Paul lays out there that everything that we do, all that we are, all that we do, all that we think, all that we say, can be an offering, a spiritual offering to the Lord. And so that's what we are, that's what sanctification tries to bring out in us, that we don't just do good things because it's the right thing to do, but we do good because that is the outworking of a change of heart reflected by the work of Jesus in our lives.
Right, and I appreciate that you said very specifically that once we are saved, once we have that salvation and that confidence in our salvation, then it leads us to sanctification, right? It leads us to wanting to do things that are good. It's not the other way around. So many people try to act like it's the other way around, where you have to do good things before you come to God and you have to clean yourself up, right?
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
God loves you how you are, but he loves you so much that he won't leave you that way. You know, he might find you very messy, broken. That's how he found me. I can tell you, you know, he found me when I was at my absolute worst. Mm-hmm. But he was willing to use that and change and transform me over time into the man I am today.
And end up.
And that's amazing, exactly. And that's what we get to experience through the hope and love and truth of Jesus Christ. So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to add in closing here?
No, I mean, I think the only thing, I appreciate what you said there, because there is a real, and that feeling of, you know, well, God can't fix me, or God, I'm too far gone. And that's a real feeling. And I want to empathize with those who might be feeling that, because that is a very real thing. Just know that there is nothing that can stop God's love from getting to you. If you just respond and say, God, you know what? I'll never be good enough. I realize that you're the standard of righteousness. There's nothing I could ever do to clean my act up enough to get to you. And that's why you pursued us first through Jesus.
Right.
And I want to trust in him. So hopefully you take that step if you haven't already.
Well, just like Marvin Gaye said, ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley wide enough. And nothing can stop God from getting to us and from us, you know, giving our lives over to him. So
there you go.
It's amazing. So, yes. So we're going to keep it kind of short today. That's I think, all we're going to really talk about. But we want to encourage you with that and let you know that we are we're here for you. We have an email address in the description below on YouTube. If you want to check that out or give us your thoughts on today's episode, please feel free to. And we'll be happy to respond and chat with you. So thank you all for listening. We hope you have a great day. God bless, and we'll see you in the next time.